astray from God's presence, fear not. Pastor Chris and his teaching will heal you and bring you back to the word of Jesus, our Savior. Attention, people of Jesus. Adam's tale is an extraordinary one for all. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Adam wandered off from God's plan of love. Thus, we're here today to be reminded of our way back to His divine presence so we can connect back to our true Creator.
Amazing grace. How sweet. How sweet. You know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is what? At His right hand there are
pleasures
evermore. In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. Now I can understand what happened to Adam and what happened ever since. When Adam was driven away from the presence of God because he and his wife had sinned against God. They were driven away from the presence of God. And then an angel, think about it. What a day. Oh, the saddest day in human history. When man was driven away from God's presence. I think it was sad not only for man but also for God. Man was driven away. God's best friend had to be driven away. What a day. I'm thinking what went to the minds of the angels. Heaven must have been very quiet when that happened. Heaven must have been very quiet. Because all the angels knew God always wanted to have fellowship with someone. Couldn't have fellowship with the angels. And now he had his Adam. And the Bible says how that God would go to the garden in the cool of the day. He'll call him by name. But this one time, he called him and Adam's hiding. Adam, where art thou? He's hiding from God. God says, where are you? Where? He says, I can hear you. Come. No. We can't come out. Why can't you come out? We're naked. The Lord said, who told you you're naked? Did you do what I told you not to do? The woman you gave me the ear. Black day, terrible day. And God said, now that the man has become as one of us, making his own decisions, he said, out. Get out of the garden. Go and fend for yourself, since you are God's. Yeah, that's what Satan told them. He said, don't believe God. If you eat of it, you'll be as gods. So now that they want to be as gods, okay, make your decisions. Get out of my garden. Go and fend for yourself. Get out. Because now, the unrighteousness has been manifested. God helped them to cover their nakedness. That wasn't what they were supposed to have. Remember, he's given others robes of righteousness. So where did the robes come from? From the earth? So God had robes. Why didn't he give them robes? Get out. And then the Bible says, painful, God sent an angel with a flaming sword to stay at the gate of the garden and disallow him from ever coming back there. Go. Oh, God has had two terrible days. Two terrible days. This was the first one. This was his most terrible day that he couldn't even talk about it to say, I regret. No. It was too terrible. He sent his man away. man that he loved so much, who was made in his image and in his likeness. God had to send him away. You know, I want you to understand what kind of a God he is. He's a just God. His love doesn't cancel his justice. You see it? He's a just God. His love doesn't cancel his justice. So he sent him away. Put an angel there to guard the gates to the garden. Man is not allowed to come in. Suddenly man discovers something. In his heart, he knew he had lost something. This rich fellowship that he had with God was over. That was the beginning of religion. Man began to do everything he could to get that presence again. Even in the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you remember, they make a stone, a pillar. Jacob said, this stone shall be God's house. How could this stone be God's house? But it just tells you how they thought. The dream for God's presence. In his presence is fullness. Understand it. Fullness of joy. There's no joy like what you have in the presence of God. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, it wasn't a Mount of Transfiguration. It was a mountain. He went there and was transfigured. Do you understand? Not like when people go there to get transfigured. Oh, I love this. So Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Let's look at verse 29 to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 9, from verse 29. Oh, read it for me. It's up the screen. One, two, go. As he prayed. I believe this happened to Jesus many, many times. But this was one occasion that the disciples had the opportunity to be there and to watch and to see what was happening. Do you realize this happens to you a lot of times? It was their eyes that were open to see. For the Bible tells us shortly after that, Elijah and Moses appeared. So it was their eyes that God opened to see the glory. So when Jesus was transfigured before them, their eyes were open to see this. If their eyes hadn't been opened, they wouldn't have seen it. And yet, that's what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You are transfigured. This is why God wants us to pray in the Spirit. Because every time you pray in the Spirit, this is what happens to you. Remember when Stephen was to be arrested. The Bible tells us as he came to before the council, his form was like the form of an angel. They looked at him and he looked like an angel to them. Amazing. Was he like that everywhere? No. What changed? The people were allowed to see the glory. Remember, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared with two of his disciples. They were walking together in the street. They didn't recognize him. What in the world happened? Did his face change? No. He followed them home. They still didn't recognize him. They sat down to eat. And then he took the bread. He's supposed to be the guest. They should take the bread and give him. But he took the bread and broke it. That looked like Jesus. And he said, take. That's the communion. Their eyes were open. He disappeared. And you know, they went bananas. Glory to God. They had to go tell the story. We saw Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. In that presence, it says, there's fullness of joy. Adam had lost something. But now he couldn't even find his way to the garden. No, the presence of God was gone. Man couldn't find his way. And this went on year after year, year after year, year after year. Till finally, God cut a covenant with Abraham. So that he could do something for man. And you know the story. From Abraham all the way to Moses. And now he gives instructions for the tabernacle. So that his presence will come again to that tabernacle. But the children of Israel couldn't enter that tabernacle. Only the priests. And then only the high priest could go into the presence. In the most holy place called the Holy of Holies. Where the presence of God was between the cherubims of glory. And when this high priest went in there, he had to have a lot of incense. A lot of incense. And then, with the blood, animal sacrifice. And he had to be dressed for the occasion. And went into the presence of God. He was the only one to see that glory. And the glory of God would come into that place. But he couldn't live there. It was only a testimony of the reality of Jehovah. And then he went away. If he wasn't prepared, if he wasn't perfected, because he had to offer his own sacrifices, sacrifices for his own sin, to purify himself before coming to offer sacrifices for the people. And this had to be done every year. Every year. This was the first tabernacle. Think about it. The presence of God. Man wanted that divine presence. It was what man wanted that made him go into all kinds of religions. All the religions of the world today are seeking the same thing. The lost presence. And they have no way to get back into that presence. No way. No way to get back into that presence. Until something interesting. This man, Jesus, makes a startling statement. Says something that, you know, they had a hard time understanding it. St. John chapter 14. Go to verse 6. Read verse 6. Want to go. Why? Start from verse 1. Verse 1. To the Father. Someone was driven away from the Father's presence. This one is going to the Father. Then they say, Master, where are you going? He says, you know the way. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. He said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He says, I'm going to the Father. Where is the way to the Father? He says, I am the way. This was what Adam needed. This was what Abraham needed. What Moses needed. What the Jewish priesthood needed. This was what everybody needed. All these many years. The way to the Father's presence. And now Jesus declares it. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Startling statement. Startling. 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 How could it be the way? I am the way. That's what Jesus said. I am the way. I want you to think about it. If Jesus is the way, no man comes to the Father but by Jesus. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. I am the way. Not a way. The way. Okay. The way to where? To the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can never find the Father but by Jesus. He is the way to the Father. The Jews are just, they need to understand this. But they're not getting it yet. But they understand what he's saying. So there's a little confusion. Go to verse 7. Verse 7. Same book, same chapter. Read, want to go. Oh. You see, there's something that they needed to get. Now, at the end of that age, God manifests something interesting. They knew what was going on in the temple. They were Jews. The sacrifices belonged to them. They knew about these things. The covenants, the fathers, they knew all this. But God was wrapping up things. He is ready for his final sacrifice. The priests have been offering sacrifices year after year. Year after year. Year after year. Year after year. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4. Somebody read for me. Oh. But they were offering them. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But you remember, as Jesus passed by, after his baptism at the Jordan, John the Baptist had baptized Jesus in water. The Bible says the next day, John sees Jesus passing by. Says to his disciples, come, come. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Think about it. Thank you. others have been sacrificed. John's a prophet. And he says, this is God's Lamb. This one takes away the sins of the world. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But this is God's Lamb. God's sacrifice. I can understand what John was thinking. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 9. From verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'll explain to you. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Bible says, the high priest went into God's presence with the blood of bulls and of goats every year, every year, every year. You see, God had to set for them a type of the sanctuary in heaven. Do you understand? There's a sanctuary in heaven. And so he gave them a type of that sanctuary. So the high priest went into this one because he had the blood of bulls and of goats that could not take away sins. There was a sanctuary in heaven where the blood must be offered, and where the purification of sins must take place. It has to take place in heaven, but man cannot get there. Man cannot get into God's presence. So Jesus comes, not with the blood of bulls and goats. He comes with his own blood. You remember when Jesus was buried, in that garden, they rolled a stone to cover the entrance of the cave. The Bible tells us the third day, very early in the morning, when the women came to complete the embalming, the stone, they had been thinking, oh, there's a stone there. Who's going to help us roll the stone away? We might just have to beg the soldiers. They get there, the stone had been rolled off of the entrance. The soldiers are not there. They can't believe it. They don't even try to find the body. They're running back to tell the disciples, come, somebody has desecrated the grave. Somebody has to come and help, please. But why are they running? Mary thinks, oh, okay, you go. Those ones go. And Mary thinks maybe she'll hang around here. She might just discover who did it. And then she sees whom she thinks is the gardener. So she says, hello, sir. Where have you laid him? And she's not particularly expecting an answer. She looks away. And Jesus says, Mary, she recognized that voice, turned to Jesus, and ran toward him. And Jesus said, stop, don't touch me. For I haven't ascended to my Father. But go and tell who?
Brethren.
My brethren. He didn't say go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my brethren. I ascend to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Remarkable. Shortly afterward, he comes to the disciples. And they touch him. Why? Because he had gone and come back. Where did he go? That's what we just read. Go back to that verse. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's where he went. With his own blood. Somebody say, with his own blood.
With his own blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what he did. With his own blood. With his own blood. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read to you from verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. You remember that? I explained that earlier. Now, next verse. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Look at it. Read it for me. Read this. The Holy Ghost. This signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. I want you to understand what he just told us. Go back to verse 7. But into the second went, you see, there's the outer tabernacle, sometimes called the first tabernacle. Okay? Then the inner sanctuary. Alright? Good. Which is the one he refers to as the second. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood. He had to go in there with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. This, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. That is to say, this most holy place, holiest of all, or holy of holies, this place was separated from the first sanctuary with a thick curtain. Josephus says it was 4 inches thick. That's quite thick. And think about the fact that this is about 15 feet high. Now, the coming in, or rather he is coming in, the priest, the high priest, and goes through this curtain. No one follows him in there. And he might die if he didn't purge himself before coming. So he goes inside in the presence of God. The curtain is still there. The others are not allowed to look in. You don't look in. You don't try to look in. You let him go. And then if he dies there, there's a chain around his waist. There are bells around his waist. Every time he takes a step, the bells ring. You know, the jingling. And then if they hear a lot of sound, once and for all, he's dead. So they pull him by the chain and bring him out and bury him. So you don't go in there to pick him. With this curtain, it shows that the way into the way, I want you to mark, the way into the most holy place was not yet made manifest. The way. While as yet the first tabernacle was standing. But remember, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? He was on the cross, he cries out, Eloi, Eloi! This was the second dark day for God. When his son cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's on the cross. The Bible tells us the Father doesn't look at sin. He turns away from him. Jesus knew how the Father would feel about this when he was telling him, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. This was going to be a dark day. Jesus didn't want it. The Father didn't want it, but it had to be so. It had to be so. In the same way that he sent Adam out of the garden, not because he wanted it, but it had to be so. It had to be so. You remember Saul, King Saul, who gave an instruction, nobody eats anything, nobody moves until I give the word. And we're fasting. Nobody moves. Then his son moved and defeated the enemy. But the king had spoken that if anybody took the wrong step today, he is done for. He must be killed. And who was the one that breached the instruction? It was his son, Jonathan. And what did the king say? You gotta die. The people had to save him from his hands. Because look what we got, the victory. When the king speaks, there's power. You remember when Herod gave his word, said to the daughter of Herodias, who danced and danced and danced, and he said, ask whatever you want to the half of the kingdom. Terrible. What was he thinking? Where was the emperor? I think he was drunk. But then he said, ask up to half of my kingdom and I'll give you anything. She ran to her mother and said, what do I ask? Mother said, there's a man that's been troubling us. John the Baptist. She couldn't think of, can you imagine? An opportunity to get whatever, anything nice. All she was thinking about all that night, throughout the dance, was what John said. You are not supposed to marry your husband's brother. Now, she gets the chance. She says, tell the king you want John the Baptist's head. He's a prophet. Herod was sorry. Herod was sorry. He felt terrible. But he's the king. He had spoken. He knew the value of words. He couldn't change it now. He said, okay. Is that really what you want? Yes, sir. And they brought the head of John the Baptist. Where was God? Did you ever think about that? Where was God when somebody was asking for the prophet's head and they actually went to get it? They killed him and brought his head into the party. Terrible. But it happened. So God didn't want it, but it had to be so. It had to be so.
Glory to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Might this be the way into the holiest that was not yet made manifest? While as yet this first tabernacle was standing, Jesus is on the cross. He gives the last word. Father, it is finished. And when he said it is finished, the Bible tells us the rocks began to crack. The earth began to quake. Did you know that there was darkness for 3 hours? And then somebody ran from the temple. Priest! 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 The curtain! What happened to the curtain? It just started tearing in my presence. What? Yes! How? Who tore it? Who tore it? Now the priest is going to tear his own clothes because, you know, who could have done that? No, sir! No, no! It was torn from the top! From the top? From the top, by itself. The Bible says the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. And the way into the most holy place. What is it saying? It's not here. The most holy place is no longer here. The priesthood has been sacked. Yeah. You can't bring sacrifices here anymore. It's gone. The glory cloud that will come over the ark will never come again. Question now. So who is that man up there on the cross? There's a soldier who's in charge of the crucifixion. The Bible says when he saw everything that was happening, including how they ran to tell them there that the veil had been torn, the earthquake, the darkness, the soldier, the officer in charge of the crucifixion, the Bible says he fell on his face and he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. This man was the Son of God. But it's not over yet. Go straight to Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Uh-oh. Come on here. Remember, he entered into the most holy place in heaven to obtain eternal redemption. And now, we are told, look at it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He not only entered there, you know, he brought us in. We now have boldness through his blood. Next verse, you'll see this, you'll love it. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, I just told you, when the veil was torn, it was the man on the cross who was the new veil. So, we understand when he says the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest. Now, the way we can understand, when that veil was torn in the temple, the way was made manifest. He was on the cross. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the Jewish mind, reading the prophets, can understand what Jesus is saying here. I am the way. You know what they killed him for? I'll tell you in a second. Put that scripture back up there. 19. It says, from verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus has become our high priest, okay? All right. Oh, let us draw near with a true heart. You know, this is another section. But this is wonderful. Jesus Christ is a new and living way. Okay? But that's not all. And that's not where I'm going. But this is beautiful. He's consecrated a new and living way. And we have boldness to enter into the presence. Who's been addressed here? The Hebrews. They're being taught something they can understand. Something they can relate to. Paul is breaking it down at the basics. They don't get it all yet, but they're trying to understand. So he writes this to them. But there's more. Jesus came as the way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But here's what he does. Think about this. He becomes the high priest and he makes us the way. I'll show that to you in the word. He becomes the high priest and we become the way. He's gone to heaven. He's the high priest. We just read it. He said, having the high priest over the house of God. Now he tells the Jew, let us draw near. Let us draw near. That's not very Pauline. But he's talking to the Jews. And that's, you know, there's some things that make some people think that the book of Hebrews was not written by Paul. But they can't tell us who else would have written it. It is Paul's very language. He's made us the way. We are the way today. I'll show that to you. We are the way today. And that's why, look at Jesus. He came to lead man back to the presence. He came to lead man back to the presence. In God's presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The Bible says, when he died, we died. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. Now, he's seated in God's heaven, but in a place of power. And we are seated together with him. So, but we are here in the earth. But our authority comes from heaven. Right? Okay. So, today, what do? We use his name. His name has exactly the same power that he has as a person. His name represents everything that he is. Now, this will tell you why this prayer of, oh God, please, oh God, help me, oh God, do this for me. You're wasting time. Praying like that will never help you. Praying like that is insulting to God. Because he gave you his name. Jesus doesn't beg for anything in the earth. It all belongs to him. And we're joint heirs together with him. But if you're looking at circumstances and thinking like men, you will not understand it. You'll be thinking of how to pray in such a way that he should hear you. How to pray in such a way that he will be convinced. You don't need to convince him. Don't try. In the earth today, we are supposed to be functioning for him, acting in his stead.
Hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change your prayer life. What do you want to ask him for? He gave you everything. According to the scriptures, he gave you everything. What do you want to ask for? Doesn't make sense to say, oh God, help me with my business. Doesn't make sense. Help you with your what? He should help you with your business. What do you want him to help you with? Now you're so quiet, it's amazing. No, what do you want him to help you with? If you don't know the scriptures, you will think it's okay. But as a baby, you can talk like that. Blah, 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 blah. You might as well. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You might as well. Just pray like that. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. I wonder what you are. Doesn't matter that you're crying. It's a senseless prayer. What are we supposed to be doing? He gave us his name to carry out business in his behalf. He gave us, I want you to understand, he gave us his name to carry out business in his behalf. Struggling is unnecessary. Why do many Christians struggle? They struggle for money, they struggle for their business, they struggle. Do you know the reason they struggle? They're selfish. Selfish men will always struggle. They will always struggle. As long as you are selfish. You might be saying, oh God, if you do this for me, you will see what I will do with the gospel. You will say, what have you done with the one I gave you before? If you had the discipline to manage whatever he gave you, it would have multiplied. The fact that whatever he gave you came down to zero is to show that you were indisciplined. How can God give you something and it comes down to nothing? And then you're asking him for what? He's an investor. He's an investor. Why should he give you more? So if you were a businessman and you invested money and they lost the business, lost your money, you give them more?
No.
So what you have to do is appeal for your foolishness and say, oh God, I'm sorry. I was really stupid. Now I am wise. Okay, now that you're wise, he has to test you again.
Yes, sir.
See, he has to help you come up. Don't say, Lord, now you're going to be asking for 10, even 100 times what you blew before. He's not going to do it like that. That's the reason he hasn't done it. Because some of you are wondering why he hasn't done it. I've just told you his message. That's why he hasn't done it. That's why you can imagine. That he sends, you see some people who you don't think are as smart as you. How can they have so much money? They don't even know what to do with the money. Yet more money is coming to them. For you that have plans. I mean, you have plans. You have a lot to do for God. Oh God, if you give me this money, I know what I will do. What did you do the first time? There's more than enough money in the world with your name on it. Say, Lord, why is it coming to me now? And that's what I've explained to you already. There's nothing you should ask for. As a baby, you can be asking. You say, but didn't the Bible say, ask and I shall give you? Keep on asking then. Continue. But I've moved. Hallelujah. I'm moved. I'm a prince, a son in the house. I'm a grown son, an adopted son. You know what that means? You've come to the adoption. See, that means you've come to the place of kingship. You've been raised. That's what we mean by the theotesia. I am a prince with power. I can handle stuff. I'm trained. That's the adopted son. He's trained. The other son, still a rascal. So, Daddy, I broke it. You broke it. All the time you come back, I broke it. This one is dealing with authority. You are asking for things. Everything you see, Lord Jesus, I need a house. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I need money. Oh, Jesus. I'm only asking for $130,000. Oh, Jesus.